Located just outside the George Street entrance of the Hilton Hotel, there is a plaque dedicated to the three men who lost their lives during a bombing attack on the hotel in the late 1970s. Today, on the 42nd anniversary of the event, we look back at what happened in Sydney during 1978. To provide context on the Hilton Hotel during this period, here is a historian with the City of Sydney, Lila Elamus.
I guess we sort of need to go back to the beginning and talk about what was happening at the time. So the Hilton Hotel was a relatively new construction. It had been there for about 3 years. At the time, the Prime Minister of Australia was Malcolm Fraser, and that he had convened this gathering of heads of government from the Asia Pacific. But because we don't actually know who committed the crime, we don't know why the building really was targeted.
She explained how the explosion was triggered.
So what we know is that on the night of the 13th of February 1978, a bomb went off outside the Hilton Hotel. What we know is that there was a garbage truck which was picking up rubbish from the concrete bins which were outside the hotel. And the garbage men picked up the bin and they put it into the back of the truck. The truck had a compactor on it, crushed the bomb. The bomb went off and it killed three people. It killed the two garbage collectors who were on the back of the truck. And it also killed, after about 10 days, one of the police officers that was on site.
The explosion wasn't localized, causing damage and injuries within a large radius around the blast site. Several people were injured by the blast, and it was powerful enough to destroy glass windows on both the Hilton and the nearby Queen Victoria building.
It was a scene of utter chaos. There were body parts which were strewn across the road. There was glass everywhere. And one of the people who came onto the scene immediately afterwards said it was something like being in Northern Ireland. It was a scene of immense violence.
After the attack, the police didn't have a clear idea of who could have perpetrated it. Conspiracy theories began to circulate with two very different suspects and possible motivations.
It hasn't actually been really resolved. So there are a number of figures who are cast in this drama. So you have the Ananda Marga. So this is an Indian religious sect which had popularity at the time. You also have these theories which are about the ASIO and the special branch of the New South Wales Police Force. But you've got these two sides of a story.
The ASIO theory posited that the New South Wales Special Force allegedly placed the bomb in the bin with the intention of stopping it before it went off and be recognised publicly for stopping a potential attack. However, another group who were widely theorised to be behind the attack was Ananda Marga.
The leader of this religious sect had been accused of murder in his home country of India. And I think there was some sort of movements around his trial in India at that time. And so some of the more militant members of this sect across the world was sort of committing violent acts. And so this was sort of seen to be within the context of what was happening internationally with the Ananda Marga.
Evan Pederick was a member of the sect and he was eventually jailed over the bombing. His story was told by Imre Saluzinski in his book, The Hilton Bombing. Mr. Saluzinski gave Evan's account of why the hotel was targeted by Ananda Marga.
For the previous 3 or 4 years, Ananda Marga had been undertaking a program of terror and violence directed at Indian official and semi-official targets designed to secure the release of their guru, who was in jail in India. And so when Evan heard that the Indian Prime Minister was going to be visiting the Hilton, he targeted that meeting for an attack with the bomb.
However, the perpetrator of the bombing was never caught. There wasn't definitive evidence that Mr. Pederick was responsible, and for him, life went on.
Once he'd left Ananda Marga, his withdrawal from it was to a certain degree connected with the fact that he married and had children. The fact of marrying and having children dragged him increasingly into what you might call the normal everyday world, and every step in that direction took him away from the cult. During these 10 years, which he spent in Brisbane, he both became increasingly tortured by guilt and increasingly unable to do anything about it because of the damage he believed it would do to his children, to his wife, and to his parents.
Eventually, Mr. Petherick confessed to the crime, leading to his imprisonment. Lila Elamus elaborated on what happened during the trial.
When he gives his version of events, he implicates Tim Anderson, who also goes to jail, but there's also an underworld figure that implicates Tim Anderson as well. But these charges against Tim Anderson are quashed, and later the charges against Evan Petherick are also charged because his evidence is not very reliable.
However, Mr. Salusinski said there were several reasons for Mr. Petherick's unreliable account.
This lapse of time and the complicated mental compartmentalisation that Evan was going through meant that by the time he did confess and go to trial all those years later, there were significant disruptions in his memories of exactly what took place on George Street in Sydney in 1978. In fairness, I should say that those disruptions also, to some extent, explain why so many theories have been able to be rolled on top of the Hilton bombing.
The experience left Mr. Petherick a changed man. Mr. Salusinski explained how.
It changed totally, not just after imprisonment, but from the moment of confession. He felt a weight being lifted from him, and while he was in jail, he moved back towards the Christianity that he'd been brought up in. But he moved in a very different kind of Christianity. He was brought up in a rather strict and fundamentalist Methodist background, but through his time in prison and after prison, he moved more towards the progressive wing of the Anglican Church. When he was released 20 years ago, he returned to his native Perth, and to cut a long story short, through his immersion inside the Anglican Church, he eventually moved towards ordination.
With Mr. Petherick ultimately being acquitted, no one has been held legally responsible. Ms. Elamus reminds us not to get too caught up over the conspiracy and the mystery of who committed the bombing.
The fact is that there are these, you know, competing conspiracy theories. People have gone to jail. They've been released from jail. This is an event that's not solved. Nobody's been made accountable. And I'd just like to recognise that, you know, people died in this incident and that the pain and the suffering that it's caused for their families. There is a memorial for the people that died and were injured, and that's outside the Hilton Hotel today. And, you know, every year the families of these people go there and they gather and they remember their families. And I think, you know, in all these big conspiracy theories, sometimes what was lost is something that is forgotten.